Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's good to be here. You know, when it comes, I'm going to be anyway speaking on two verses of scripture this morning. And the two verses of scripture got a really great contrast. And before we just come to these scriptures, you know, when we come up, anybody who's responsible for coming to share the gospel, there's lots of things in the scriptures which were to teach people. The Bible tells us that God is the creator. So we teach about God being the creator. We teach about his character. We speak about his attributes. He's merciful, he's gracious, he's kind. We speak about God because he's holy. The Bible says he's holy, he's high and lifted up. He's a holy God. And that means that when you have sin, it is a terrible thing to come into the presence of Holy God, because it's agony. Because he is holy. And so that is why we need salvation, because the Bible talks about sin being dealt with by Jesus Christ and being covered by the garments of righteousness that Christ gives us. So that because of his righteousness covering us, we can stand before God. God gives us instruction to his people so that we might experience his blessings, his goodness. He gives us instruction so that we don't live in bondage. So that you're not under fear. So that you're not under the weight of sin and you feel you cannot get out. God gives instruction how you can be free. The Bible also gives teaching to discover your destiny. Because God has called every one of you. And because everyone's unique, and God has destiny and purpose for every person. So everyone of you are special. In your own way, you are special before God. There's not two people in here today who are the same. There's not two people in here who are the same calling and gifting. God gives to individuals. And so we teach principles of scripture as well. And just the other week there, Marita done a really good one on a cheerful giver. And so we teach lots of principles, because when you bring your life into alignment with the principles of God, the blessings of God flow, and you see the result of the word of God being outworked in your life. We also like to teach about the difference between the holy and the profane. There's lots of people who are just profane, who go after vanity, but God is a holy God, and God is very clear in the scriptures. He separates that which is holy and that which is profane. And so we teach the difference. We're also commanded to teach about the mysteries of God, the mystery of God, how Jesus became a child, the mystery of iniquity. So there's things which the Bible says, be faithful stewards and teach the people. So there's lots of things in scripture that have to be taught. And so when it comes to a Sunday morning, we have to at times take a little chunk at a time. But today I really want to speak about something that everyone needs to know. It is imperative that you know this one thing. And it can be taught in different ways, but there are two scriptures I want to take out today to use for us to try to get an understanding of this. And it's Psalm 68:20. Psalm 68:20. He that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. Now contrast that scripture with one that you will be familiar with, I'm sure. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Look at the contrast there. Proverbs, the writer says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. But the psalmist, when he's writing, he says, but unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. So in your life, you're going to make decisions. The issues from your heart, but when it comes to you after you make your last breath, you have no say in what's going to happen. God has to say. Now, The thing about the scripture, scriptures come in different layers. And what I've done there, I want to bring up the first 10 names of the people we read about in the scriptures. These boys, I'll make sure, but it's just...
It's
I did bring it up, so it's easier for you to follow if it's on the screen. If you ever look at that screen, these are the first 10 names of the people in the Bible. Adam, Seth, Enos, Kenan, Mahal, Lael, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. And somebody took the time to look up what is the meaning of the name. Well, Adam means man, Seth means appointed, Enoch, mortal, Kenan, sorrow, Mahalalel, the blessed God, Jared, shall come down, Enoch, teaching, and Methuselah, his death shall bring. We know Methuselah because his word was, when he shall die, the flood will come. And then Lamech, the despairing, and Noah, rest or comfort. So if you go to the next slide, just down. And so when you read that, man is appointed mortal, but the blessed God shall come down teaching that his death shall bring the despairing rest. That is the gospel. Because man is bound by sin, and he... You look around yourself. You don't need to treat people to be wicked or to be sinful. Sin is everywhere. But it says here, man is appointed to sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down, teaching that his death shall bring the despairing rest. Amen. The mystery of godliness. How God, the creator of all things, took on human flesh and came into this world. And he lived among us. And because he lived among us, the Bible tells us he experiences everything that you experience. Everything that you go through in life, Jesus has gone through it. He was brought up to be obedient to his parents. He was brought up to train to be a carpenter. He experienced the life of joy and sorrow. He experienced everything that you go through. That's why the Bible tells us he is able to come and identify with us. But the question is, when we go back to our two verses of scripture, the issues of life and the issues from death. So what are issues? What are issues? The dictionary would define that as subjects you are thinking about or even talking about. But anyway, it goes further. And the results of the decisions you make. The issues are the results of the decisions you make. You know, in Scripture, it gives us examples of people who were very careless and very foolish and made bad decisions. And some of them were so careless and treated God so casually it cost them their lives. And so the Bible is very clear to tell us God is holy. If you don't know anything about him, then don't start to say anything about him. And don't start to mock him because you don't know what you're doing. Yeah. But God is a holy God. And so in Scripture, as I said, there are examples when people treat God too casually. So a fear of God is always a priority in a Christian's life. What you do not understand, you've got to leave alone. I remember a former pastor in the church, and there were various issues that he was dealing with. Then God spoke to him one time and says, "What you don't understand, don't comment on." And he said that he would care as well, shocked him. Because we as people normally, we like to comment about everything. But there are things when it comes to the realm of God, you should never comment on. Now, when you read the Lewis Revival up in the north of Scotland in the late 40s, when the presence of God came, people could be in the dance hall. They could be in the clubs, they could be in the pubs, they could be walking across the moors. But when that presence came, the fear of God came. No longer were they interested. They were hidden. The Bible says it about the Bible there. It tells us that they wanted to arrest the Christians. And they thought, there's a Christian who works at a police station, so they're all going to the police station. People walking across the roads would fall on their face because the presence of God came. You see, when the presence of God came, it changes everything. And so the Bible tells us that our God is holy, and we approach him with reverence and with fear because he is a holy God. But issues of life is what is important to you. What is the thing that is important to you? There are major issues in life. People want to know what kind of career they're going to have. They might want to know who they're going to marry. They might want to know if they want to travel the world. They make all sorts of decisions in life. Some people make bad decisions because they join gangs, they get into crime, they get into taking drugs. And we worked with drug addicts for many years. And probably half of all the drug addicts we've worked with are all dead now. It's decisions, the issues of life.
Yeah.
You're picking the issues of life. And the Bible says, be diligent. Now we do know, for example, young people brought up in homes which are so bad, as soon as anybody showed interest to them, they would just marry the person. And then they would discover after a few years, this person's not a very good person. And so the Bible says, be diligent in your decision, because out of the heart are the issues of life. And the major issues, some are good, some are bad. You may have issues with belief. People say, I can't believe. God's able to deal with that. What Jesus says, come to me, and then you'll believe.
Yeah.
It's not the way that the world goes. The world wants to be convinced and then come, but Jesus said, if you want to know if I'm the Son of God, then come, follow me, and then you'll know. And so the issues of life are the decisions that we make. And they can have a profound effect on us. Today in the society we live, there's all these emotive issues about climate change. You don't need to worry about any of these things. The end from the beginning is written in Scripture. Sorry, we don't need to fear or worry about anything. All of these things are just stirring up stuff. It's not going to happen. If you want to know what's happened, the Scripture tells us. But notice a great contrast. An individual has responsibility during their lifetime to make decisions. And you're getting an instruction here how to proceed. It says, keep your heart with all diligence. You've got to make decisions, keep your heart with all diligence. And so there is this instruction given to us that out of the heart are the issues of life, but you have a responsibility to make sure that you do all the diligence necessary. You know, in the business area, they're supposed to do what you call due diligence, where they look at a company, they go through all the books of the company, they want to make sure that they're going to buy something that's going to add value to the company. And if you go back to the financial crisis around about 2007, 2008, if you looked at the Royal Bank of Scotland, they went and bought a bank from Holland. The bank they bought was a dud. They paid the highest prices for a dud that caused them so much problems because they never done their due diligence correctly. And so the Bible says, when we are going to make decisions and choices, we have got to be people who are diligent, and we pray for the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because we want to make good decisions. And God is in the business to help us make good decisions. He gives light to our path. He is a God who answers prayer. He is a God that's got destiny for us, and he is a God who reveals. Now, Samuel was sharing this about the men's group. But if you actually listen to Samuel's testimony, they prayed, Lord, where do you want us to be living? And so once he came, then they prayed, what church do you want us to go to? And then the pain. Where is the job that we've got? Now, most people are the opposite. They look for where is the work, and I will go there. And once I get there, I will look for the job house, then I will look for the church.
Yeah.
He done the complete opposite. He said, Lord, where do you want us to be based? Where is the church you want us to go to? And then he'll look for where is the job you've got for me. It's the diligence you do. And see, when you do the due diligence, God leads and God guides.
Amen.
Because he's in the business of leading you and guiding you and encouraging you.
Amen.
And so you've got this great contrast. Victor talked about it. A pure heart with pure motives.
Yes.
If you've got a pure heart with pure motives, then you're commanded to walk in the light. And the Bible says if your eye is single, then your whole body is going to be full of light. But if your eye is not single, then there's going to be darkness in. And they say, well, how great is that darkness? And the Bible also goes to say, but the wicked heart, they have wicked motives. Not everybody you meet are upright. People have agendas at different levels of society, different levels of government. And so people have got pure hearts, people have got wicked hearts. And so in life, you're making these decisions. But the Bible says, when you pass out to eternity, you take your last breath, you have no more decisions to make. The Bible says, God takes over.
Amen.
And all the decisions are left in his hand. All the decisions are left in his hand. You have no more say. Now in Psalm 49, Psalm 49 is a psalm which is not addressed to a particular group of people. It's addressed to everybody in the world. This is one of these psalms where it's written to every single person that is living. And if you go to Psalm 49, it's addressed to all people and all inhabitants of the world. It doesn't depend on your position in life. It doesn't depend if you're down in the lower strata of society, that you're a nobody and nobody recognises you. It doesn't matter if you're a high flyer, that you have a person of status, you've got lots of money. It doesn't matter any of these things. Look what the scripture says. 49:6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. In other words, it doesn't matter how much wealth they have. It doesn't matter their position in society. They cannot redeem a person once they pass into death. They cannot redeem them, they cannot save them, they cannot help them.
Yeah.
That they have no power, they have no authority, they're left speechless. All the wealth a person has can't redeem, can't buy back of one close to them who dies. And it is impossible to give to God a ransom for him. It is impossible to give to God a ransom for somebody who's died to pay the price of our sin. Why? Because all the way that sin could be dealt with was by the blood of a spotless lamb.
Yeah.
And that lamb was the blood of the living God. The blood of Jesus Christ wasn't the blood of Adam. It was the blood of God flowing through Jesus' veins. And that's why the hymn writer says that there's power in the blood. Wonder working power of the blood, because it's only the blood of Jesus that cleanses from sin.
Amen. Yeah.
A sinner cannot cleanse somebody else from sin. A sinner can't pay the price for somebody else. And so the only remedy is to look to the shed blood of Jesus for the remission of sins. And it comes to verse 8. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever. So the Bible says, your soul is precious. And the soul God is willing that none should perish. So the soul is precious, but when you come to death, it ceases forever. The decisions have been made in life. Now the soul is precious. And the scriptures tell us that the soul is precious, and that the soul must be redeemed before death. And Jesus took our place in Calvary to pay the price, so that our sin might be forgiven, and that we might be clothed with Jesus' righteousness, so that we can stand in the presence of a holy God. Mm-hmm. The soul is precious. Now, many years ago, there was a story about a man from California. That's always from California. But this man was a rich man. And what he'd done in his will was he arranged to get his body deep freeze so that it will be kept until the scientists can find out how to bring him back to life. And you see, it's impossible. He will never be brought back to life. The Bible says life is in the blood. And here that man, no blood, nothing, just a shell, frozen. And the lawyers probably do quite well with our fees every year to administer to this. But people go to every length, whereas in the scriptures, the Bible tells you how you get eternal life.
Yeah.
And we wait. And the Bible talks about, as I said, the soul is precious. And the Bible makes it clear that the soul that sins is going to die, and the body goes back to the dust. And even in Job, he said the soul is in God's hand. And he asked the question in Job 27:8, for what is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he had gained when God takes away his soul. So even Job, he goes on to not just the person who's wealthy, but the person who's a hypocrite. And he's gained loyalty. He said, but what's the gain once God takes away his soul? And as the scripture said, you can gain the whole world, but if you lose your soul, it's not a good deal.
Yeah.
Now, the soul is precious. And the issues of life, you know, the integrity of a job I'm just going to look at. But the Bible tells us that in Genesis, when God created man, he breathed into his nostrils and made him a living soul. And when you go through the Psalms, what you will find is that the psalmist didn't say, preserve my life, you know, keep it always said, preserve my soul, lift up my soul. You've redeemed my soul from the lowest hell. It's always on about his soul. And so, the soul, the Bible says, is precious. And you have to realize that your soul is precious. Above everything else in this world, your soul is precious, and nothing can pay it, pay the price for it. There's nothing worth the price of your soul. Now, making decisions in life, issues of life. I thought I would just look for a few moments at Job. Because he is a man who God looked at, and God was pleased at. He was so pleased at him. He would rub up Satan the wrong way just to annoy him. But the Bible says this about Job. There's four things he was commended for. He was a man who feared God. He kept away from evil. He walked rightly before the Lord, and he was perfect in God's sight. So he made decisions in his heart and his life so that he wanted to live to please God. And it follows on from that when you go through particularly Job 31, you'll find that this man had a remarkable character, because the Bible says about him, there was no worldliness in him. Idolatry wasn't even anywhere near him. He never sought the vengeance. He was never cursing. There was no deceit in him. He wasn't stingy. He was no compromise, no stealing, no wastefulness. He was a man who feared God and had made the right decisions in his life. And when you make the right decisions in life, you have peace with God.
Mm-hmm.
You have peace with yourself. You're in a place where you know the presence of God. and the joy that comes from knowing his presence. And so Job is a man with moral integrity, but out of issues of the heart. There was diligence. There was diligence. And he followed the Lord. And he asked the question, who? There's nobody that can contend with the Almighty, not instruct him. He said, nobody can contend with God. Nobody can instruct God. And so in other words, he's saying, I give you advice, it's good to walk in righteousness before God. Because he is the one and sustainer of all life. But Job had a secret. He had a secret in how he lived. And that secret was found in Job 31:1. He made a covenant with his eyes. He made a covenant with his eyes. He made a covenant what he would look at and what he wouldn't look at. And of course, we're through the scripture. You think of when Israel went into the promised land and they took the possessions of Jericho, and the Bible says Achan looked at the silver and the gold and he took of it. It cost him his life. But Job says, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Because the eye affects the heart. And the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence. And Jeremiah 17:8 talks about the heart being a very deceitful thing. It can even deceive you yourself. And then the Bible also says in Matthew 6:22 about the light of the body is the eye. So therefore you want your eye to be single so that your body is full of light. And so Job has this, because he walks in this area, he is kept from sin, he is kept from stumbling, and he's keeping his life right with God. He's done his due diligence. He knows how to please God, and he's walking, and he has a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And because he has a relationship with God, he gets revelation. Mm-hmm. He gets revelation in Job 19:25. I know my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And Job declares his complete confidence that God will raise him from the dead so that he will stand in a body of flesh and see God face to face.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that an amazing thing?
Yeah.
He gets the revelation. My body might go back to the dust and the world might eat his body, but there's coming a day when God's going to raise my body from the dead.
Yes.
And of course, as we go through the New Testament, we actually get much more, a greater revelation on the resurrection of the dead than the Job had. But you see, his hope went beyond his life. Because of the blessings of his heart, he'd done due diligence, but that impact had an impact into, because he knows when God raises him from the dead, he passes into death. Know that God then takes over, as God will see who he is, and that he will not be condemned, because his faith and his trust was in the living God.
Amen.
And so there's rewards for serving the Lord. You know, and the Bible tells us in Psalm 98:9, before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth, with righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity. God is a judge, and he's coming to judge the earth.
Amen.
And in the scriptures, we are confronted with these two scriptures, the contrast. The contrast of the issues out of your heart, the decisions you make in this life. God gives you responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But he's given you his word to walk before him in humility, to walk before him in righteousness, and to walk before him in alignment with his calling and purpose he has for your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have that responsibility on you. God doesn't take that away from you. He gives you in his word how you can live, how you can prosper, how you can be a person that enters fully into your destiny.
Yeah.
But he tells you, once you make your last breath, everything you've done in life will then result in the decisions that God makes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no more decisions or actions you can take after your last breath.
Right.
If you haven't made your life right with God, when you do your last breath,
mm-hmm.
there's no way you can get right with God after you path of eternity.
Yeah.
Law is very, very clear. He that is our God is a God of salvation. And unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. And the issues from death all stem from the issues of life on the decisions that we have made. Have we turned to Jesus? Have we looked to have our sins forgiven? Have you ever thought of the price that God paid for your salvation? You know, God's going to at least have one question for you. And that's, what have you done with my son? What have you done with my son? Because it wasn't a light thing for Jesus to leave the glory of heaven. It wasn't a light thing for Jesus to take on human flesh. It wasn't a light thing for Jesus to be constrained with the constraints of living in a body of flesh. And it wasn't a light thing for him to take your sin and my sin and to go to Calvary. And the Bible says your soul is precious and God doesn't want you to perish. So he made that decision to come on into the earth. He made the decision from eternity that there was going to be a way of redemption for every person so that they can come back to know the living God.
Amen.
And he's making it clear. You've got my word. You now make decisions which are diligent and in line with my word. Because when you make your last breath, the decisions you make will mean the action I will take. And there's no second chance. Either we know Jesus or we don't know him. Either we're going to be born again from into the presence of God and into that place of joy, or we're going to be lost for eternity. Now I always think we get people who say, but when I see God face to face, I'm going to tell him all that I have to think about him. Do you know? Nobody will ever do that. When you read the scripture, anybody who had encountered with God in the scriptures fell to their face as if dead. The fear of God was so great upon them, their own sin condemned them in his presence. Nobody's going to be mouthing off God when they see him face to face, because they'll know the corruptness of their nature, and they will not even want to be in his presence because they can't abide it. And all you people who are going to say, I have these questions, why God done this in my life and done that in my life. When you're in the presence of the living God, none of these things are going to matter. Because you'll have joy unspeakable. You will see Jesus face to face. So today is a very fundamental question of the scripture that every one of us need to know. We have to make decisions in life. And these decisions have consequences for eternity. It's in this life that these decisions are made. But once they're made and you pass into eternity, God takes over. And you have no more decisions to make. But the wonderful thing is, God has made a way for us. So that when we enter into his presence, we will be in glory. And the Bible tells us that we will have a body like unto his glorious body. But we all have one life to live, to please God and to walk in his ways. So let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just bow our heads in your presence, knowing that you have given us a great responsibility.